I feel like the 10 a.m. of late has been on fire. It's been really, I'm not going to tell the 8 a.m., but you know, like the 10 a.m., there's something God is doing in this service in particular. It's very interesting. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you preach or you come into church, there's different stuff going on in each service. And that's why we can't take it the same way as the last one. We actually have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to say. Yeah? This is not about regurgitating information or singing the same songs. It's about actually listening to the voice of God. And I have a message today and a series we're going to be kicking off over the next few weeks. We're going to be unpacking something that I think has just been really highlighted to me in the scriptures of late. And it comes from the book of John. And I'm going to be encouraging us all over this next season. I always say it, but I'm going to say it again, to pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible. And the reason for it, God wants to reveal Himself in new ways when you read His Word. And if there's a passage of Scripture I want us to be focusing in on the next couple of months, it's the book of John, chapter 1 to 15. Chapter 1 to 15. And you can go and read this in your own time. Today we're actually going to be starting off from the chapter that is chapter 15. We're going to kind of start at the end and go back and through over these next few weeks. And the reason for it, in the book of John, there's multiple times. In fact, Jesus Himself teaches in the book of John 7 times the I ams of who He is. The I ams of who He is. He says, I am this, I am that. And He has it with such authority. He speaks and He gives us an understanding of who He is. Maybe you've entered in today. Maybe it's the first time you've been at this church. Maybe it's the first time you're in church. Maybe you got invited like Beck talked about. I just want to tell you that Jesus is what you're looking for. Jesus is what you're looking for. You've been searching. Jesus is what you've been looking for. And I just pray today there will be a revelation, and a new revelation of who Jesus is and can be for you. Okay? And Jesus calls out these I ams. He's really down the line. I am. And I actually want to just sort of give a bit of, I suppose, a background to this series, because we're going to unpack this over the next few weeks, okay? And to do this, to understand the power of the statement when He says, I am, we actually have to go way back to Moses' time. We're going to enter in the story in Exodus, which is right at the start of the Bible, thousands of years before Jesus arrived. And what happens is the Israelites are slaves in Egypt, and Moses, he grew up in Egypt, and he kills an Egyptian man and he runs for his life. He ends up in the desert, and pretty much he's running away from his responsibilities. He's running away from life. He's looking after some sheep, and God shows up. And that's where we're going to pick up from the story. And this is where this idea of God being I am comes from. It says in Exodus 3:14, Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it wasn't consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. How practical is it, eh? Like, you just picture him, oh, look, a bush is on fire. This is very formal for Moses. Like, I'm going to go look at, why is it not burning? What the heck is going on? Moses is out there going, why is this thing not burning? I'm going to go have a look at this. And it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up and out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, and then God responds, he said, but I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. It was at that mountain where he gets the Ten Commandments, okay? So he's setting this up. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. I love this passage of scripture. Powerful passage of scripture. It's the setup for the Israelite salvation. It's the foundation of Moses going in and getting the Israelites out of Egypt, crossing over to the promised land. We know that story. But what's really powerful is what God says to him, I am who I am, right? It's a really strong statement. It kind of reminds me of this meme going around. It's like, it is what it is, right? I am who I am. Tell them that I am sent you. This idea of I am was pretty amazing. And what we find in the book of John, 7 times is Jesus claims I am. He talks about himself as I am, which really infuriates the Jewish people, because in their history, the idea of I am is God, the God of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Like this is a big deal. This is like heresy. How can you say this? And it actually comes to a head because Jesus is talking in John 8. I want to show you this. Jesus gets to the religious people. They're chatting with him and they're asking Jesus, who is your father? And Jesus is pretty much saying, my father is in heaven. And he goes, look, I know who your father is. And they say, like, our father is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's our father. That's where we come from. They know this inside out. And it says this, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Ooh. And it says they picked up stones and tried to kill him. Because he has just placed himself before Abraham. He is saying, I'm the God that set you free out of Egypt, and now I'm here in person. I am. And today we're going to talk about some of the I ams. Because this is powerful, powerful stuff. When Jesus calls out I am in this moment, it actually highlights his Godship, his divine nature. He was revealing to the people that he was indeed the Messiah they'd been waiting for hundreds of years. He was actually revealing to them the power of who he was. And he starts to give these metaphors and pictures of why he was who he was and what that actually meant for the Jewish people, for the Israelites, the nature of the I ams of God. And today, I'm going to kick off this series with a statement found in John 15, right at the end of the chapters I'm going to challenge you to read. And he says this, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. This passage says this. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do remain in me, you are like a branch. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Wow. Now, if you've been in church for a long time, you will know this passage, right? And you may have heard about the vine before, right? If you're new here, it's kind of a little bit weird that Jesus starts referring himself to a plant. Imagine if I got up and said, hi, my name's Az. You can refer to me. I am a bush, a shrub. Or maybe you're like, he's short, we'll call him a bonsai tree. I don't know, like, you're just like, he starts referring in this metaphor of like, I'm this plant. Why on earth is he referring to this plant? Well, we understand as followers of Jesus that Jesus calls us to a place of producing fruit. if we're actually in him, if we know him, we will produce this spiritual fruit, which we actually find out about in Galatians 5, 22 to 24. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the things you should see on a Christian's life. People go, what does a Christian look like? Well, Christians can look a lot different to each other. Like, they don't have to look the same what they wear, but there's characteristics that should be on their life if they are in Christ. And this is how you can see that. And these are the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it says, against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's this idea of producing fruit that I want to talk about, that Jesus is the vine, and if you're one of his branches, there'll be fruit in your life. There will be fruit in your life. And, you know, it's so interesting that Jesus comes in, and he doesn't say, I am a vine. He just says, I am the true vine. And that says to me something, that these people know about the vine, and if he's the true vine, then what's the false vine? What's the vine you don't want to be connected to? What is that vine? Like, why were these Jewish people so intrigued by this statement? And when he makes this statement, it causes such great offense to get to the point where they're like, let's stone him to death. Well, if you didn't know, Jesus is actually referring to Israel itself as a vine. The Israelites knew that they were a vine. In fact, if you've never read this, in Psalm 87 to 19, we can read about Israel as the vine. When the Israelites left Egypt, they got out of slavery, they walked into the promised land, they became a vine. They were known as a vine. And we hear about this in Psalms 80. It's amazing. The psalmist is writing yet again because it's a psalm of repentance. The Israelites have stuffed up again. They're saying, sorry, please forgive us. We've sinned. And this is like the constant process of these people following God. We follow God. We say sorry. We get forgiveness. We stuff up again. We say sorry. We get forgiveness. And this is what's going on in Psalm 80. This is another passage of scripture I encourage you to go read this week, okay? Psalm 87 to 19, it says, restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You get that? You can see the imagery. You've come out of Egypt. You have planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The people of Israel took over this entire space. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that moves in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. You have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son who you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord of hosts. Let your face shine that we might be saved. Isn't it interesting that Israel referred to them as God's only son? What did Jesus say? I am the only son. This is causing a lot of offense. And they're saying, you bless us. We're your right-hand man. We are the one you have blessed. You have called us out. And for the Israelites, they were a vine that was unstoppable. They were blessed. The land had been cleared. They were taking over everything. Wherever they went, whatever they wanted, they were blessed. And this is what Israel believed wholeheartedly, that their vine was the blessed vine, that they were loved simply because they were Jewish. I was born a Jew, therefore I am blessed. I was born in Israel, I am blessed. God loved them more than anyone else. It's the imagery of God's people having such massive blessing and power that they'd come out of Egypt, they'd taken over the promised land, they'd planted themselves, and they literally thought they were it. Until the moment that Jesus says, I am the true vine. Wow. I am the true vine. Jesus' statement that he was indeed the true vine was a statement to everyone listening to his teaching saying, you think you're connected? You're connected to the wrong vine. You need to connect to me. That won't do it. That will not do it for you. It'll get you so far, but you need to be connected to me. It was huge, huge, huge statement from Jesus. He was establishing that if you were connected to him, you would bear fruit that was supernatural. There was something you could never do by the law. You can try all you want. You can try and be good, but you can't go, I've got peace. Oh, fruit that is peace. You can't just, I love people. Be good. Didn't happen. Jesus was saying that. So you try all you want, but you're part of the wrong vine. You need to be in me to see this supernatural fruit come to pass. Chapter 15 again, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You can't do it on your own. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, this passage of scripture became very real to me a few years ago, about a decade ago now. I found myself seeing this picture of Jesus being a vine in a very real way. Story goes that I went through a really rough time in my life where I lost everything. In a period of 3 months, I lost my job, I lost all my money, and then I also lost the fiance that I was engaged to at the time. And so my whole world had collapsed in a heap. And maybe you've been through a season like that. I remember it very clearly. I didn't even get to tell anyone that I'd lost my job. It just happened. 2 weeks, pack up and go. And I remember driving out of my dream job that I've been doing for 3.5 years. I was crying because I just lost everything, obliterated. And a friend of mine called me and he said, "As, what are you up to?" Just random call. And I said, "Oh, I've just lost my job." He goes, "Whoa, sorry, man." He said, "Well, what are you doing next week?" I said, "Nothing." He goes, "Do you want to come on a pruning retreat?" He's a Catholic friend of mine, and I'm like, "You Catholics are weird, man. Like, what do you mean a pruning retreat?" He goes, "Dude," he goes, "if you want to come, I can get you on the list. There's a group of us that go down to Mittagong each year," because it was right in the middle of winter. He goes, "We actually prune the vineyard." And I'm thinking, that sounds horrible, right? It's -3 degrees. And I said, "Why do you do this?" He goes, "Dude, every night, great food, great red wine." I'm like, "I'm in," right? And I was just like, "I'm down." So I end up going to this pruning retreat. I'm the only Protestant there, and the priest there, the brothers there, we joked every night about how we should start a sitcom called The Proto and the Priest, and it was just like, it was a crazy time. But I remember on the first day, they gave us our secateurs, they gave us our scissors to prune this vine. I know nothing about gardening. Trust me, if I could have a concrete slab everywhere, I would. You know, I just kill everything. I tried to grow some basil the other day. It died. Like, it's just nothing. I'm just not good at this stuff. So they teach us how to prune this vine. And they say, "Look, you got to cut back to this point on this vine and do this and this and this." And I was kind of listening, but you got to understand, I'm internally just dying because I've had the worst time. And I'm here, it's -2 degrees. I've got gloves on, I've got a beanie on, and I put my headphones in, and I just do what I thought they told me to do. And I'm hacking away at this thing. Like, I'm hacking it. Like, I'm taking out all my angst, all my anger on this vine. And I get given a row, and I'm just going hard. Anyway, it's like a couple of hours into this day, because we have this massive row each. And I've got a photo of what it looks like to prune a vine. So see these? My one looks worse than those, right? So I'm hacking this thing. All of a sudden, I get this tap on the shoulder, and I look at this guy, and it's his brother, right, who lives on site at this vineyard. And he goes, "Take your headphones out." So I'm like, he goes, "Az, what are you doing?" And I went, "Huh?" And I go, "I'm pruning the vine." And he goes, "Look up." And I look up, and all these other people that have come to this retreat are being really dainty with it. You know, still a little bit of greenery on their vines. And mine looks dead. Like, there's not a leaf in sight. It is like, my whole being just sunk. I'm like, I've killed it. As if they don't hate us Protestants enough. You know, like, I'm going through all this stuff. They don't really, but you know, I'm just feeling guilty. I'm feeling guilty. I've killed it. 50-year-old vine, it's dead. And this brother looks at me and he goes, and because he knew I was freaking out, he goes, "Az, look at the ground. What do you see? And I'm like, this is weird. I'm looking at, I'm going, there's dirt, there's a root there. And he goes, there's, that's right, there's a root there. What do you see? And I go, oh, it's the root. He goes, is it in the ground? Yeah, yeah. He goes, planted? You go, yeah, yeah. He goes, as long as it's planted, there'll be fruit next year. And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know what's going on in your life, Az. He actually had no idea about what had just been going on. He goes, I feel like God might be trying to teach you something, Az. Is he trying to cut back stuff in your life? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, Az, don't worry about it. There'll be fruit next year. He goes, I believe that God's just leaving a lot of room for growth. And I was like, it just really hit me. And like this brother walked off, like, thank you, sensei. You know, like this really like old, you know, wise man. Yeah, oh, grasshopper, yes. There will be fruit next year, you know. It taught me so much about this passage of scripture. It was really interesting that I'd cut back, but there were still branches. They were just really small little branches connected to the roots. John 15, 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Wow. Sometimes we think getting pruned, it hurts, and we're like, man, I feel pretty dead right now. I feel like everything's been cut away in my life. But if you're connected to the root, it doesn't matter. The imagery of Jesus being the vine, us being the branches, and God being the gardener gives us such an important understanding of how God works in our lives. Maybe you're feeling pruned right now and it hurts a bit. Understand, if it's God doing the pruning, you can rest in the fact, because you're still connected to Christ, he's going to use this next season to grow you to produce more fruit. Fruit worthy of picking and fruit that is enjoyable to those around you. Understand that producing fruit, Jesus calls us to produce fruit, not that we can pocket it and harvest it. Guess what the fruit's for? Others. Others, that people might come into your life and go, I need a bit of joy right now, thank you. I need a bit of peace right now, thank you. I need that in my life, thank you. Just being in your presence, I can take that fruit that is displayed in your life. What's amazing about Jesus calling out that he was the true vine is that he was highlighting to the Jews that yes, indeed, they were a vine, but they were a wild vine. And without God's pruning, without God being the gardener, they would just overtake. They were out of control. It's interesting in that passage in Psalm 80, it says that the vine was overcoming the cedars, the great cedars. Isn't that an interesting image? Have you ever seen a wild vine before, a wild grapevine? Go and look it up. Go Google it. Have a look into it. Vines without pruning just go nuts. And what actually happens when you're not actually open to God's pruning, you also can go wild. Are you actually prepared for God to be your gardener to bring correction and pruning in your life? What's really interesting about wild vines, get this, if you find a wild grapevine and you go and pick some fruit, don't expect the fruit to taste very nice. It's often sour. Sour fruit comes from wild vines. But pruned vines bring sweet fruit. And I actually believe that God was saying to me, as I actually think of the danger of us as being Christians and followers of Jesus, we can be connected to his vine, but not be open to the gardener pruning. And so the fruit looks like the same fruit, but when it's tasted, it's sour. And when people come into your contact, maybe what they're getting is a sour experience of who Jesus really is. Allow God to prune your life. His intent for you is that you will produce good fruit, even though it might hurt for a season. you know, there's a few questions I asked myself this week as I was looking into Jesus saying, I am the true vine. And some of the things that came to me, the questions I asked myself, and maybe you'll ask yourself this week, one of the questions I said, Jesus, am I connected to you as much as you want me to be? Am I producing fruit that is absolutely a result of being with you and being pruned by God, submitting to you? Do I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in my life? Or am I a useless branch that God would cut off, dry it out? In fact, I'm just a stick. You know, maybe if your answer to those questions are no, you're like, you know what? I am dried out. I feel like I've had no fruit in my life for a very long time. Today, I want to give you a chance to reconnect to the vine. I want to show you the power of the true vine and what it means to connect to the true vine. The true vine, the powerful picture of Jesus, is incredible. There's so much more in it. What's actually really interesting is that at the end of every season of a vineyard, they clear all the fruit, then they cut away all the top stuff. And then there's like branches left, and then they kind of cut those down and they're just left with a bud. And it's literally just decimated, like that picture I had up before. Might get it up again. And what happens in this season is that as you can see, all the sticks in the middle, they get all burned up. They're useless. In fact, this vineyard that I was at, they fed all that to the cows, right? Because it's useless. It's not going to bring any fruit next year. It's just get rid of it. And the vine, it actually appears to be dead. And it lays dormant until springtime. Lays dormant until springtime. They actually say that it is like it's truly dead. And then in spring, when the temperature hits around 10 degrees, something incredible happens. The vine wakes up. And by saying the vine wakes up, something starts to pump through the vine, the sap of the vine. What's really amazing, and it just blew me away, and I want to sit here for a moment. The sap is actually known within those that do vineyards as the blood of the vine. The sap makes its way up to the place where it's been cut off. The point where someone is pruned to, and it starts to weep. They actually say the sap is also known not only as the blood of the vine, but the tears of the vine. Do you see the imagery of Jesus? What happened? His blood was shed. His tears were shed. And it says when it hits that point of cutting, the sap makes its way at the top, and it's the sap that brings about new life. And it's the sap that actually allows a new sprouting, a new springing of life. And that's where the new fruit comes from, the blood, the sap. New buds with new fruit for the new season. It takes about 4 weeks for this to happen. You know, the importance of the sap is so incredible. As I was reading about this, I'm like, my mind was being blown. I'm like, you're calling yourself the true vine, and this is exactly how it works. No fruit comes of it unless it's connected to the blood point, the sap. Maybe you're already connected to the vine and you're looking for new life. Trust in His blood. He can give it. Maybe you've entered in here today going, how do I get connected to this true vine? Because here's a really interesting thing about Galatians 5, and I want to read this. Believe it or not, if you've entered here today, you're actually part of a vine no matter what, okay? You might be still under the law it talks about, or living by the flesh. You're not connected to Jesus, and so you're connected to something else, which is known as the flesh. And in Galatians, it says there is fruit that is produced from that vine too, okay? And it says this, now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, you can see that fruit as well. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. says, I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to be saved, if you want to know what it means to truly live and have these fruits reflected in your life, you need to connect to the vine. So how do you do it? Well, what's really fascinating about the vine is that often you would get a branch from another vine and you would graft it into the new vine. You ever heard about grafting before? Anyone have done that before? I was talking to someone in the last session, said he did it with his tomato plants. He grafted in and just put it, did what it said online and grafted in, and then it became part of this vine, this tomato vine. So that's really cool. But what's amazing about grafting, it's a process where you get cut off from where you were and you come into the new vine. The place and where the grafting goes is this part that was cut off for the pruning. They actually make another little incision into the top of that, and they stick in the branch and they wrap it with tape and they cover it and they make sure that no air or sunlight or anything can get in between that branch and the vine. They do this at sapping time. And there's nothing else but the vine, the blood, and the new branch. There's no distractions. The reason they cover it is to avoid any kind of destruction on that branch. Nothing can come in the way from making this branch not take to the new branch. It's powerful imagery. Think of it this way. If you want to be part of Jesus, the vine, you have to leave the old vine. You need to place yourself in the new vine, cover yourself, make sure you protect yourself, get connected with Jesus and his blood, and that only until you start to produce fruit like Jesus. I am the true vine. If you want to know more about Jesus, the truth is his blood is so powerful. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross, and it's by his blood that we can sit here and stand here and sing with confidence that we are eternal beings, that death has no power. Why? Because Jesus lay dormant just like those vines for 3 days, and all of a sudden, the sap, the blood started pumping again. And there was new life, new fruit. And we can be part of that. We can connect to Jesus. The way we do it is we confess. We say, God, I'm connected to everything that's wrong, that's destroying me. Cut me off from that. I'm turning away. I'm leaving there. Plant me in your vine. The beautiful thing is when you're planted in the vine, you're now part of the vine forever. And guess what? You don't have to do anything except just let the vine produce the fruit. Not, I hope I've got fruit in my life. No, Jesus, like, just relax. I'm the vine, you're the branches, I produce the fruit. Chill out. Chill out. He'll give you a new life, a new identity, new fruit. And what's really beautiful is that you will not produce sour fruit because you've allowed God to prune your life. You'll produce sweet fruit for those around you. There's another incredible promise about being part of the true vine. And I want to give this to you. If you don't have faith, I want you to step out in faith this week in this space. If you know that you're part of the true vine, it says in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. God actually says, once you're part of the vine, you have access to the Father. You pray, I'm going to hear you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you are the true vine. And we can rest in the fact that we are your branches, God, that we can place ourselves in your vine and trust that you will work through us and bring about fruit. God, that we can take the pressure off of trying. But God, we can rest in the fact that you are the one that produces good fruit. And God, that you are connected to your Father. Jesus, you're connected to your Father in the ground, God, that you will bring about life no matter what. For those here today, if you don't know what it means to follow Jesus, it says, repent, believe that I am who I am, and you'll be saved. In other words, you can be part of who I am. Leave your old life, join to a new life. If you want to do that today, I want to pray for you. So if you're here today and go, you know what? I want to leave my old life behind. I want to see this good fruit that's talked about in Galatians in my life. I want people to see that on my life. I don't want people to see that I'm angry. I have fits of rage that I'm stuffing up. I want God's fruit in my life. If that's you today, you go, Az, just pray for me. Just put up your hand so I know I'm praying for you. Yeah, it's hands all over the place. Amazing. Beautiful. The beautiful thing about me praying for you today, guys, is that once again, you can relax in the fact that He is the vine. You're just connecting to Him. Being removed from your old life and connecting to Him and trust Him. Trust me, He will do what He needs to do. God, I pray for these people that have stepped out and said, I repent of my past. God, I'm sorry for what I've done in the past. May I be part of your vine, the true vine. May I produce fruit that is worthy of you. God, I pray a blessing over each and every person that put up their hand in that moment and said, I'm leaving my old ways. I'm going to be part of who you are, Jesus. Use me, produce fruit in my life. Now, for those in this church, I really feel like God's doing a pruning. There's people that are feeling pruning in their life. And you might be hurting right now. Maybe you're just like, you know what, God, I want to say this right now. God is saying this. There will be fruit next year. Stay connected to Him. I also want to pray for anyone who feels that, you know what, maybe I've been part of the vine of Jesus, but I haven't allowed the pruning. And you're like, God, I surrender again. I give you my life and I genuinely want you to take control. If you want me to pray for you today, right now, I just want to pray a blessing and pray that this will be something that you will think about all week and year and God will start to produce incredible fruit. So if that's you right now, just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. You're like, I need to see that fruit in my life. Yeah, there's hands all over the place. Amazing. Thank you for your vulnerability. God sees your heart. He sees your hand. Maybe your heart's pumping. You're like, oh my gosh, I feel exposed right now. God is just saying, just allow me to prune you. Allow me to bring correction so that you'll actually become the person I've called you to. Holy Spirit, I pray for those that have raised their hands, stepped out in faith. God, I pray that you would so kindly, so beautifully, and only your way, bring about pruning that brings about new fruit, your fruit. God, that won't be wild, but they will just follow you, trust you, and rest in who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, as we wrap up today, I just thought it was powerful we were singing this new wine song, you know? New hope, new life, new wine. Hey? And I just thought, you know what? I actually want us in a moment of reflection, in a sense, to actually sing this as we go out. We get the band to sing it. You can leave whenever you want. But I want you to say, God, I want that new life. I want that new hope. I want that new wine. In other words, you're saying, God, prune me and bring about the fruit that comes from that pruning. Yeah? So we want the harvest. We do. But it takes us to be obedient. So let's stand. Let's sing. Have a wonderful Sunday as you go. But let's just sing, reflect, and just seek Jesus in this song. And we'll see you next week.
Intention, you're bringing freedom. find in fire what you call gold. You will find in fire what you can mold. Find me here in your presence. I'm not leaving the same. Let your refining fire purify me again. Let the weight of your glory bring me back to my knees. Oh God, come and revival. You can start it in me. You can start it. Together with one breath, one voice, one cry, Jesus our Savior, new hope, new life, new wine, we come together.
Oh, and I
let your refining fire purify me again. Oh God, come with revival. You can start it in me. You can start it in me.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.